Yes. So my question is about the seven church age. It's all about their reward. But before I go through it, I want to read Matthew chapter 20, verse 23, concerning the two sons of Zebedee. 23. And he said unto them that ye shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not my to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And concerning the seven churches, their reward when Jesus Christ finished speaking to them in the Ephesus, he said that to him that overcometh.
Which verse are you reading, please?
The reward of the.
Which verse are you reading?
Two. Verse seven.
Revelation chapter 2, verse 7.
Yeah.
Read it.
And he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And down to the Laodicean church age, he also say, I want you to review the
which one,
the Laodicean church age. They are all the words.
Chapter what, verse what?
3:20. That is 3 verse 21.
Revelation chapter 3 verse 21. Okay.
To him that overcome, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and I'm sitting with my Father in his throne. So my question is it only the bride church in the Laodicean church are going to sit on the throne, or the other rest is included?
Those that will sit on the bride of Jesus Christ is made up of believers from the first church age to the seventh church age. Now, for every age, there is a promise made to them, the overcomers. And whatever is promised the overcomers of the first church age, you have those of the second church age, there is also a promise for them. The emphasis there is not just as you read it, but that there is a reward. And everything you see there is all centered around God's throne, around his kingdom. So you don't just pick it and say, this is only their own, then this one, this is their own, this one, this is their own. No, if you do it like that, then it means you'll be making one age better than the other. Now the same blood spoke for every age. It's the same blood of Jesus Christ. In his own agenda. Because even if you look at it, for instance, the first church age, the second church age, there were ages where people died for the gospel. They were killing them. They produced martyrs in that age. In our Laodicean church age, for instance, we didn't suffer what those people suffered. So if you want to even talk of reward, then they should get better than us. Because what they suffered, we have not suffered it. So you don't interpret it that way. The only thing that makes us more special, and it is by God's election, is that in the seventh church age, what we know concerning salvation, other ages didn't know it. That makes this age a very glorious age. None of those ages knew, for instance, the seven seals, the seven church ages. None of them knew anything about it. It is only in this age that God came down through the seventh angel message and gave his bride in this age a revelation. And the reason was because in all the past ages, the seven church ages, we have four, the Antichrist moved in four, through the four horse riders. Now, the fourth horse rider, which is the pale horse, In Revelation chapter 6. Now that pale horse rider is the spirit of deceit. This is the age. In the past ages, you don't see the kind of spirits that are going on now in Christendom. In the past ages, you are either a believer or you are not. But in this age, Satan has invaded the church with anointing. So the standard of God use is that ego. And what he does is, there are things, he gave us a spirit of revelation to go deep into the mystery of salvation, so that this spirit of deceit will not come. In Matthew 24, verse 24, the spirit of deceit, the false prophet, will be so close. He said that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. It is in this age that prophecy is to be fulfilled. But the elect cannot be deceived because of the eagle anointing. Praise God. Remember, first standards. First orders, they are the gates of hell that Jesus Christ spoke of in Matthew 16. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell, they are those four horse riders that will ride through the seven church ages. The Antichrist move. But when the enemy rises like a flood, what did the Bible say? He will raise a standard. The standard against it is what you see in Revelation chapter 4, those four beasts before the throne. The first one was the calf, a lion, correct? The second one was the calf. The third one was the face of a man. And the fourth one was the flying eagle. They are all a symbolism of the kind of anointing God released in his prayer for that day to counter the move of the spirit. In this case, it is the eagle anointing. You see, that's why I preach anointing for sale. I preach the spirit of demolition. The anointed ones at the end time. All for us to let them know we know who you are. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have got the revelation by the last prophet's message. And the church of Jesus Christ was chained down. Children of God in cages, denominational cages. Catch you. Catch until you don't have liberty to even express what is in you. No liberty to worship God with all the family churches that have been set up. All the business and commercial houses, they have named the church. Our eyes of understanding, we must open up at last. And so victory is our God. We are champion of the world. Our journey is our God. That's who we are. That is who we are. There are people almost everywhere that have all of me. We are the fire of the Lord. We are the fire of the Lord. We are the fire of the Lord. Has been open. When I see them stand like this and say, ask me questions, they are watching us all over the world. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. You know, I know where I am standing. Oh, yes. Because I'm not going to answer you from my denominational teaching. I am coming to the original. Oh, yes. The Bible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Messages bring us back to the Bible. First prophets are lying, the truth that has been lying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Yeah. The best generation, the best revelation, we are the best of the truth. The best of the world shall be met. Since he one God, and that is the reason for how they can never see the end time message. The song that says, "Who do you say I am? I want to say I can." He said, "If you wonder the Father, how can you tell His name?" Amen. Where will I have been now? Time. Don't know by now, I will be answering Reverend Dr. Moses. Hello? Yes. They have written me several times to come and collect honorary doctorate degree. Angeli. As our peer, Eric, I don't know if he's here. He's always the one I say, I beg, reply them. We will thank them. Thank you for the recognition you have given me. But I'm satisfied being a pastor. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If nobody doesn't tell message, my wife will have been Reverend Dr. Mrs. Hallelujah. I will have been the general overseer. General overseer. Yes. I will be struggling now to occupy a position in the Christian Association of Nigeria for recognition. In fact, I will have been chairman of Amor Dolphin chapter. Yes. So that I can be recognized. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I thank God for He opened our eyes.
Thank you, sir. Matthew chapter 20.
What does it say?
One. He's talking about the parable of the workers in the vineyard.
Yes.
So, and the way I'm going, that he came to the 11th hour and he came some people.
You
Matthew
not,
chapter 20 from where?
What was, is your question there?
My question is, the people that came late to the work, only 1 hour.
Yes.
So, the other people began to complain, why do you give us the same reward with the people that came early? So I want to know the people that, is it the apostles or the church messenger?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But he explained it there now. He explained it there now. Is he not, you want to know who are those who first came and who are those who came last?
Yeah.
No, it's simple now. In the vineyard of the Lord, both those who started early in the gospel and those of us who just come now in the seventh church age, what is telling us is the same reward.
Well, it, verse 11 is the murmured against the good man.
Eh?
The Bible says in verse 11, and when they have received it, they murmured against the good man of the house.
The murmured what?
The murmured against the good man of the
house. Who are those that murmured?
That's what I want to know, the people that are.
It's only a parable. It's trying to let you know that whether you started early or you joined late, it is the same reward. That's all. And then nobody should grumble.
Another one. 2 Timothy, concerning the preaching you preach on Sunday about the, you make reference to 2 Timothy chapter 2 about the great, in the great house there is many vessels.
Yes.
And I want to know whether the pure seed of God, are they part of those, if they did not place themselves ready for the master to use, are they going to be used in the vessels of honor in that great house, the children of God, the pure seed?
I hope I understand your question.
That
scripture is very explicit. It said there are two groups of vessels in a great house, and that great house is the church. And that some are unto honor and some unto dishonor.
That is what I'm saying.
And he's telling you what you should do so that you'll be an honorable vessel. Clean up yourself so that you can be suitable for the master to use you. That's all.
Hallelujah. Remember one. I went to a redeem church in the north, and the pastor was preaching about tithe, and he said that we in the New Testament, according to Apostle Paul, said that we are in a better covenant with better promises, and the pastor was trying to let us know that it does not mean that we should, as people in the New Testament, it does not mean that we should give only 10%. That we can, out of excitement for people, out of revelation, people who are revelated, you can give more than that. And maybe somebody may dash you matches, and this matches is 10 naira, you may collect 20 naira and come and pay for your tithe. Something like that. And he used word of God to support it. But in this church, I've had many ministers say that if you add anything to it, you are giving only offering. That is the offering that you are giving, that is no longer
so you want to know whether that redeemed pastor is true or not?
Yeah, I want to know, because some of us, we do business in exchange.
I am saying, whatever anybody teaches, he must support it with the scripture. Which scripture did he use? Now, he quoted that we are in a better covenant. Does better covenant means, does it mean you should give better offering to Praise God. Now, a lot of these pastors, any scripture they can catch to make money from the people, they just use it. Tithe is tithe. Now, listen. We are under a better covenant for two reasons. One, it is a covenant of grace. And secondly, it is sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is our high priest that does not change. He abided forever. The Aaronic Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood was changed because when you die, a new one will be appointed. But this one that we are under, our high priest now, according to the book of Hebrew, Apostle Paul was teaching us that this one does not die. It is in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrew chapter 6. In the order, our priesthood is the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek, not of the order of Aaron. That makes it a better covenant. Because our high priest does not die. Praise the Lord. Now, that statement will make more meaning to you if you listen to the message I preached, the city of refuge. Just letting you know, we are in a better covenant for these two reasons. Now, but in the old, the tithe was not, did not come specifically with grace like that. Listen, I mean, the new covenant, it did not come with the new covenant, I mean to say, that tithe existed during grace. And Abraham is the first partaker of grace. Why grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Abraham was among his kinsfolk. He was not praying and asking God, come and deliver me from idolatry. God just came and picked him. Come out of your people. And Abraham believed God, followed him, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He was not under any law. God did not give him any other law other than come out from among your people and I will show you a place you will go. But Abraham is the first person we saw that paid tithes when he met Melchizedek after the battle with Sodom and Gomorrah. So, under which law did he pay? It is a revelation that he received that you needed to pay tithe. And subsequently, tithe came and became also part of the law. Just as slaughtering rams, it didn't just come with the law. In the Garden of Eden, Abel slaughtered a ram for the atonement of his sin. How did he know? That Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says it's a law that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So, these things existed before, even the law. Now that we are in grace, tithe is still tithe. Tithe is one-tenth of your income. Now, but the love of God in you will make you to do more than the tithe. But you pay your tithe, and as it is laid in your heart, and I have also taught that in this grace that we are, yes, obedience to the word of God. See, when you pay tithe, listen, church, when you pay your tithe, maybe that is what the man wants to teach, I don't know, but I'm following your explanation, you know, it's wrong. When you want to pay tithe, many of us have to pay tithe because it is a law. It's a commandment. Why? Because God is telling you, for every income you have, I am a partner with you. You take 90% and give me 10%. So that I have a meat in my house. Because the church will have financial need. And that is God's own economy. To meet the needs of the church. That's why, when you refuse to pay your tithe, he comes hard on you, if you're a true child of God. You have broken a commandment. Now, but there is the law for prosperity. Amen. It is give. and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down together, shaking together, running over, shall men give to you. I say, with the same measure you met, it will be meted unto you. So where the whole blessing comes is in your offerings. It's in your offerings. It's in what you give to the needy people around. He said that if you give his servant a cup of water in the name of a servant, because he's a servant of God, you give him a cup of water. He didn't say tithe. He said it will not go unrewarded. He said again, he that giveth to the poor, lendeth to God, and he will surely repay. Then he said, he that stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor. He said, hey, so he cried. And no one will hear him. That is where the blessing is. So he leaves that. You are so straightforward with your tithe. You are obeying. And you are not doing God any better when you pay your tithe. You are only saving yourself from trouble from him. Because you will be owing him. In fact, not owing. You are robbing him. It's a commandment. So maybe that is what he wants to teach.
You just make reference of love. That is what he was trying to express.
I have explained that. God bless you. Uche from Austria. Shalom Church, please, Pastor. I want to know why Enoch did not die. Did not die the natural death like Adam, Seth, Kenan, Mahalalel, and so on in the book of Genesis 5:3-24. I also want to know if Enoch is more righteous than others that died. Praise the Lord. And Brother Richard, you must ask me also, why did Elijah also not die like others? Why did Elijah not die like others? Is it Elijah is more righteous than others? Because the same way Elijah went is the same way Enoch went. Praise the Lord. In the book of Job, we get a key from there. Praise the Lord. Verse 14. This is the way the Bible put it. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. That is the emphasis. He prophesied of this same, behold, the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. Now, Enoch had a ministry. Listen carefully. Enoch had a ministry. And it was a ministry that was telling the people of the coming of the Lord. But the Lord is coming. And he's coming to judge the earth. He's coming to judge the earth. And his ministry, listen carefully. These things are hidden in the Bible, and people just gloss over it like that without knowing that it is God talking to you. Now, listen. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Seven is God's number for completion. The temple was built in 7 years. Seven star messengers, seven candlesticks, seven church ages. The rapture takes place at the end of the seventh church age. And the seventh from Adam was taken away. He didn't see death. Granted to us that in the seventh church age, the rapture will take place. What will be changed? We will not see that. And it will be under the Elijah anointing. The ministry of Elijah. And that's why Elijah too was taken up. Praise the Lord. And before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5, I said, behold, I send Elijah the prophet. And Brother Abraham came in that grace, in that anointing, to prepare us with that anointing for home glory. Praise God. I think that's all. God bless you. Yes. Okay, first Paul. hell or Jabulun. In John chapter 5 verse 8, who is this tree? Who is this tree that bear witness in heaven and earth? I ask because Trinitarians use this very verse in their defense of Trinity. Please, I need more understanding. It's written there. Can we read it? 1 John chapter 5. Amen. Verse 7 and verse 8. Let's go to verse 7. 1 John, okay, verse 7, yes. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Lord, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. So the question is, bear record of what? What do they bear record of? It's a record of what God has done for our salvation. The Spirit, the water, and the Lord. The Spirit, the water, and the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit, the water. In John chapter 19, that Roman soldier pierced the side of Jesus. What is it that came out? Water. And shortly after that, what did he say? He shouted, "It is finished," and did what? And gave up the ghost. And that ghost is the Holy Ghost that was in him. And that is the Holy Ghost that came back to earth on the day of Pentecost. That bear witness of God's plan, activity for salvation. What's the other one? The Word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Word was made flesh. The Word is the prophetic word that was given, that was fulfilled. I don't know why that means Trinity. There's no Trinity there. Forget it. And even that verse 8, theologians have argued it. I have personally searched for it, and I tried to look at the lexicon, the Greek lexicon. The Trinitarians that interpreted the King James Version, that verse 8 is not there. But I don't want to go into that argument. It's not there. Go and search it. They added it there to support Trinity. It's not there. Yes. Okay, sister.
Shalom, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, my question is on what we are into now. About the fasting. So I believe that we are fasting on Holy Ghost baptism. So the question is that, you know, me as I stand here now, I'm a little bit, my mind has not been resting since we started the fasting, because I believe that I've been baptized in Holy Spirit when I was in Assemblies of God at Abba. So Humphrey Rumaka was the man that gave us this revival for 7 days. And on that, before the completion of that 7 days, you know, he made it that everyone must speak in tongues, which I was among them. Though before it, I was opening my eye, looking at them. You know, everybody was trying. I was like, imagine how far would it be for. But all of a sudden, I fell into the anointing, and throughout that night I started speaking. So, but when I reached to Christ Embassy, I saw when they how they are doing their own. I was confused, though I didn't join them. I came out there when God revealed something for me. So, but now we are now having this the program now about fasting concerning Holy Ghost baptism. And I believe that many of us here have baptized in Holy Spirit before now. So, I want to know, because on the day of Pentecost, it's only once that it happened. So, can one baptize more than once in the Holy Spirit baptism? So, that is why I fast, but my prayer at times I say, God, I have gotten it. What is it two times? Please explain more.
Praise the Lord. As your situation is a condition of so many people, have you been fasting?
Yes. Yes, sir.
I want God to demonstrate something here for us. Amen. Oh, I pray, Lord, come and demonstrate something here for us, so that they will understand what we are teaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. So come and stand here. Just stand. Drop your Bible. What you want God to do, every one of us, if you have ever received any experience before, is, Lord, confirm to me whether what I received before is the Holy Ghost or not. Do you understand? That is all you are supposed to do. That's your prayer throughout this period. Lord, confirm to me if what I received that day, for inside Catholic Church, that day for Assemblies of God, Lord, confirm to me. That is what she wants. And he doesn't waste time to confirm it. I know it will happen. This is a symbol of the program, isn't it?
Jesus is passing this way.
Holy Ghost t-shirt. Eh? That's a symbol of what we are doing now. So as she wears it, hallelujah. How much of the Holy Ghost you have said before? You are not knowing. It's very simple, very, very simple. Not be English. Holy Ghost, not be English, not be grammar. It's practical. It's practical. Holy Ghost is not grammar. He's not allowed to ask. I get that, do I not get that? Ask him. Father, I get that. Now show me what the first thing. I don't understand. I don't put on my mind. Come, sister. Hallelujah. That's how you spoke in tongues. Eh? You spoke in tongues. Now, I'm going to place my hand on you, and that tongue will start again. That is what happened on the day that Apostle Paul met them in Acts chapter 19. In the name of Jesus. Receive it.
Holy Ghost fire.
It is a genuine
tongue.
She asked for it. She asked for it. And any other person too. One is here to confirm what I'm teaching. But even as much as the truth, he will come and confirm it. Give me the power to do your will. Hallelujah. Juliet from Togo. Please, sir. I have never fallen under anointing since I gave my life to Christ. But when I was watching the rebroadcast of the Holy Ghost baptism of last year program, I fell up for some minutes before I got myself. Please, sir. Is it the baptism of the Holy Ghost I received? Or what? Praise the Lord. You tell God, ask God. Tell the Lord. I'll be Juliet. If you don't call me, don't go to God. When I'm ministry here, then you will tell God, Lord, when I was watching the rebroadcast in my room, I fell under anointing. He says, Holy Ghost have received, Lord, confirm it. If it happened again, now Holy Ghost. That's all I can tell you. Praise God. But that was the Holy Ghost. So many people watching our programs around the world have received the Holy Ghost like that. Yes, let me hear you.
Shalom, Shalom. It is proper for a man of God to go to the Bible to from iPad in time of Simon.
What's wrong with it? I don't know. The important thing is what you are saying. See, listen. I've answered that several times in this ministry. You see, the whole world is going electronic now. The whole world is going electronic. Now, but the problem that we have with the iPad, which differentiates it from the book, the Bible, the book form, is that that book is the Word and the Word alone. So, it gives us, it lets it have some reverence. It makes us look at it as a holy book. In that book, you will not put any unclean thing, nonsense writing or nonsense picture in those pages. But the electronic Bible, the iPad, the computer, whatever you are using, your phone, whatever it is, may contain some other nonsense that you stored somehow in that same device you are using. So for people like us that have so much regard for the Bible, when I am going to church especially, I prefer to carry my Bible. Now, it is not a doctrine. It is as I worship my God. Because at the end of it all, whether I read it from the electronic device, or you read it from the hard copy of the book, it is what it will produce in you that matters. So, but for me, for the sanctity of God, so that any time I open that Bible, any time I hold the Bible, I see myself as a holding God. I become very reverent, and it's a holy book. So it remains holy. That is for me. Because I watch out for a consecrated lifestyle. Thank you. I know God, Brother Samuel, sir, explain John 2:28 and Acts 2:14-21. Why do you say it is wrong for a woman to stand on the altar and preach? Also, how can one be a member of a church that has no branches? For those that live very far and do not have money to buy a dish to watch, or maybe the church has nothing to be able to televise all their program as you do. Shalom. The first one, can I read Acts 2 verse 14 to 21? Acts 2:14-21. But Peter, standing up with a level, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all, ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And that is quoting Joel 2:28. This verse 17 is quoting Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass in the last days, say God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So what you are saying is, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It includes women. That's why you are saying, why do I say women cannot stand at the altar and preach? Listen, it is not me that said it. It is the Bible that said it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, can we read it? Verse 11. 1 Timothy 11, 12, 13, and 14. Let the woman learn the things that pertain to salvation in silence, with all subjection. But I suffer not, I permit not a woman to teach. Is that a test? He must have a grammar school. I permit not a woman to teach, not to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Where? In the church. That's what I'm asking, verse 13 and verse 14. Number one, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. That is, in creation, the man is the sinner. Hallelujah. The head of the woman is who? First Corinthians chapter 11 says so. The head of the woman is who? The man. Man is the head of the woman. And who is the head of the man? Christ is the head of the man. And who is the head of Christ? God. That is the order. That is verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Now, verse 14. And the second reason why the woman cannot teach. And Adam was not perfect in the Garden of Eden. But the woman not perfect was in the transgression. Man and woman were equal. But when man, the word of God was given to the man and the woman in the Garden of Eden, it was not the man that messed it up. It was the woman that messed it up and brought us into the condition that we are in. The word of God now is given for restoration, for redemption. This time, God decided so that it will not be messed up a second time. He took it from the woman and left it with the man so that it will not be messed up a second time. When the woman messed up the world, the equality with man was taken away. So she remains in subjection until the process of redemption is over. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, can we read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. Let your woman keep silence. Where? Where? In the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are permitted to be under obedience, as also said. Praise the Lord. Where there are men, women cannot lead. Women cannot teach men instruction in righteousness. Now, but John chapter 2 verse 28, and he said, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And that scripture was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And 120 men and women gathered in the upper room. After the Spirit came upon them, did any of those women speak? Did they hear anything for any of those women that were in the upper room? Praise the Lord. Amen. In the law, we have the Aaron and his children, they are the priesthood. Aaron and Levi, the Levites, Levi and his children. Is it only man he born? Levi had man and women. But did you see any other priest or priestess in the Old Testament? Only the man went to the altar to minister. When Jesus Christ came to select his disciples, is it coincidence that he did not add one more man among the 12? Even when Judas was taken away, why did they not replace him with Mary, Mother of God, and Mary Magdalene? They still put another man to replace Judas. Why? Because the woman must keep quiet. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the 9 gifts there, the 9 spiritual gifts there, is for both men and women. It's different from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the 5-fold ministry. There are the leadership offices in the church. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. They are the leaders, the leadership offices. No woman should occupy them. But any other gift, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of prophesy, healing, whatever other gift a woman can operate. And in this church, we have women that prophesy. But they are not ordained into the office of a prophet. But they prophesy in the body gifts. Praise the Lord. And that, and when even when they prophesy, there is a man behind here to show that she is under the authority of a man. She's not in charge. She's not in charge. Praise the Lord. You know, most of this, our African preachers especially, they believe that anything that comes from the Western world, Europeans and Americans, they believe that it is correct. Americans, Europeans, the Western world, scientifically, we cannot beat them in their scientific knowledge and advancement. That makes them scientifically superior to us because all are fellow fellow. But when it comes to the things of the spirit, amen, they are far, 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 far from God. They know nothing. There is nothing I can learn from any of them now. Nothing, nothing. The perfection of Christianity came from them. Why? It is because of the society they found themselves. Listen, in America, in Europe, they have placed the woman on top of the man. The woman is more important than the man in their lives. All of them are coming out of Europe, they will know that you are sitting in there with your wife. It is your wife that owns that house. If she told police, say you beat them. If the police say, I don't want this man, this man, they will chase you out. Police will come under 10 minutes and tell you, can you pack up, please pack out. You pack out. Do you know why men are afraid to enter the house? In Europe, in America, if the wife takes you to court, say, you know what, again, according to their law, 70% of your assets will go to the woman. 70% of your assets will go to the woman. So, in the Western world, man has his ministry. So that the woman will not scatter the ministry. He decided to ordain her, to make her to be part of the ministry. So that they can be protected. They don't know that that is the reason why they will take women there. When Africa is here, when you have power above the women, praise the Lord. If the boys are over here, now somebody else. Now somebody else, now somebody else. So I come and tell with us,
may this man not trap me, come up my house.
Because the man will die, the man die. And a woman here, they prefer us to live. More than our children pray for us to live. Because if we die, the relations will come and collaborate and drive our commands. So, why are you pastor copying that thing when it's not that clearly in the Bible? You are copying so that women have to die there. And that does not make it scriptural. Pastor. It's wrong. Pastor.
Don't abandon us. Let us remain where God has placed us. Thank you very much. About branches. Praise the Lord. One thing I want you to know is that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And we are not the only ones that are preaching this truth. And every seed of God in this age, somehow, God will lead you to hear the truth. It is God's business. Nobody helps God to save people. You have to do it according to the blueprint. The word, the Bible. God has his evangelists. God is the one that advertises himself. The idea of a church having headquarters and branches, the way the denominations do, you and I know, you know, that thing about spreading branches everywhere, it is not for the spread of the gospel, it is for the spread of the empire. It is membership, nothing more. If not, you all preach the same thing. You all believe the same thing. Why will one church be in Ijesha here? You another one again. You are coming to plant your own there too. If it is not something else you are looking for. That's the truth. You all belong to the same association. You are all Trinitarians. You all believe in women pastor. You all believe in whatever, everything the same. Why do you have a church in a street? Does it not cover the whole street? Why are you bringing your own again in the same street? It's something else you are looking for. And come and see them doing competition for members. So you know it is not on the spirit of the gospel. If not, why are you not going to other places? Apostle Paul boasted that he never went to where the gospel has already been preached. So go other places and open it. See? So we know that the denominational something is an expansion of empire and not the spread of the gospel. That's the truth. You to belong to a church, the emphasis is not belonging to a church. You have to belong to the body of Christ. What we teach you here is not to make you our member. We teach here for you to know how to be a member of the body of Christ, which we too belong. We preach the truth and leave you to take a stand. A church is where two or three are gathered. So if you are following us, God allow you to have a dish like this, then bring those who don't have a dish to gather in your house. You are already a church, and you are not Bride Assembly. Praise the Lord. Okay, God bless you.